Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fesco and I had a chance to chat with Chiefs GM Brett Veach. What stood out when we carried the Brett Veach news conference yesterday was his timeline on Eric Fisher. Achilles injury. I guess we were probably in the camp of, man, this is going to take a while. Brett Veach announcing he should be ready to go by mid-August. On first listen, it certainly sounded like an optimistic timetable for Eric Fisher.
Well, I mean, listen, it's really just based upon the information that I got with Rick and his staff, and certainly Rick is one of the best at what he does. And look, with that timetable, there's always, you know, the caveat of, you know, give and take, and especially with an injury like an Achilles. You know, I would say that guideline that he has given me and the timetable he's given me, there's certainly flexibility on the back end of that, but I think it's very optimistic that, you know, that's where that is, and we're hopeful that he can be ready for the start of the 2021 season.
Yeah, and I think that was good news. Like, Josh and I kind of, like, were high-fiving, like, all right, get Fisher back, get Schwartz back. Now, all of a sudden, you're looking at an offensive line that is a lot different than it was a month ago, you know, down in Tampa. Having those two guys back and healthy, how is that going to allow you guys to kind of maneuver this offseason now?
Well, I mean, listen, certainly when you talk about, you know, your cornerstones at right and left tackle and, you know, their ability to start the season and play is certainly puts you in a good position. And, you know, we were certainly shorthanded not having those guys for, you know, Mitch half the season and Fisher right there at the end. But I think, you know, what it does is, you know, I don't know if it'll change much. I think that, you know, our mindset is to build depth and to get younger. I mean, again, these guys are great players, but we all know that, you know, Father Time is undefeated. So we still in our mind have to work on establishing more depth and looking toward the draft to build up that depth behind them and identify young prospects that can come here and contribute and be ready to play and eventually work their way in the starting lineup.
That being said, how many offensive linemen are you drafting this year?
Yeah, we'll draft. Listen, the good thing is, you know, every draft is different, and the strengths and the weaknesses of every draft is different. But, you know, we're excited about this draft class. Really like the offensive line prospects, and think it's deep for the first three or four rounds. I think the cornerback position is deep. So, you know, needless to say that, you know, there's a good chance that a couple of those guys will be Chiefs. But, you know, again, it's just hard to predict because you never know how the draft is going to play out. You know, I always joke with the guys, like, we get in there and you look at the draft board right now, it's like, wow, there's a lot of linemen on this board, and it's really deep. You know, but by the time you get to pick 31 in the second round, I mean, those guys, they're all off the board because every team in the NFL needs two linemen. It doesn't matter if you have the best line in the NFL or the worst line in the NFL, every team needs two. You know, some teams need more. But to think, you know, that's just the reality of this league. So, you know, to that point, you know, even though the numbers are really good, you know, once you get through the first 50, 60 picks, most of those guys will be gone. So we'll have to do our work to make sure that we can land a couple of those guys and make them Chiefs.
Chiefs general manager Brett Veach joining us. Offensive line depth, I felt like you couldn't have done much more to build offensive line depth last year, and yet the numbers kind of got thin at the end. Do you have to go like three deep now? Do you have to have extra spaces on a roster now for offensive linemen, or is that just one of those weird years?
Well, listen, I mean, you're hoping that was an outlier year, and you know, most years when you approach the season, you're always worried about injuries, and there's always a chance you're going to lose a guy, maybe two, and sometimes three. You know, typically, though, most years you don't have injuries plus guys because of a worldwide pandemic opting out. So it was a situation that we probably had our normal couple injuries. You know, Fisher went down, and Schwartz went down, and Coletti went down. So, you know, it's not rare for teams to lose a couple linemen. That was unfortunate that we lost three starters, but in addition to that, having two players that, you know, were a former starter or a returning, would have been a returning starter in LDT, and then one guy that you drafted was hoping to be a swing guy. I mean, that was probably the final blow. I mean, not having five of those guys being able to play, I'm not sure what team can withstand that. But, I mean, look, everyone was in the same boat last year, and you know, it just happened where that kind of luck didn't fall our way. You know, a couple years ago, Pat's injury could have been really bad, and we got very lucky that Pat was able to recover from that dislocated kneecap, and then we got our defensive players healthy at the right time. And a lot of it is, you know, getting through the season and just peaking, not just play and performance-wise, but it's peaking health-wise. And, you know, that just it didn't work out for us health-wise. I think, you know, the defense starts to do what they always do, get hot at the end of the season. You know, the offense and the way they performed against Buffalo was a good indication that we were ready to go. But unfortunately, the clock struck midnight with the injuries, and, you know, that will be something that, you know, we work hard to address this offseason.
Talking with Brett Veach, Chiefs GM, here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs. And, Brett, when you look at, you know, the opt-out guys, you mentioned Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Lucas Niang, like two guys that you have kind of penciled in, obviously, to be big playmakers for you. Not just those two guys, but Damian Williams as well. Like, where are you with the opt-out guys? Do you expect all of them back?
Yeah, so we've had conversations with all of their agents. You know, Lucas was a guy, because he was a draft pick, that, you know, I texted periodically throughout the season. I'd probably say once every 2 or 3 weeks we were touching base with him. So I know, you know, Lucas, LDT, and Damian, they all plan to be back, and I think they're all excited to get back to what they do and get into the routine and be back in the locker room with the guys and have fun playing football. So again, with all three of those guys, we've been in communication with their agents and on, you know, based on some conversations I've had with Niang personally and the conversations I've had with LDT's agents and Damian's agents, I know all three guys are looking forward to coming back and getting the 2021 season started on time.
Is there a catch-up time that has to happen? These weren't like injured guys who were around. They weren't around and they weren't doing football things. So is there going to be a timetable to ramp up from something like that?
Yeah, I think with those players, with a lot of new players that we get, whether, you know, they're a free agent we signed or a young draft pick we bring in, I think the first part is getting them in the building and just doing baseline testing. You know, they'll get their physicals and they'll get their time with the training staff and the weight room staff. So they'll assess where they are. Now, you know, you and I know how this works. You know, everyone says they're working out, and some guys, the workouts are, you know, more intense than what they do here, and some guys say they're working out, but the workouts aren't where they need to be. So I think the first thing to do is get them in house, go through the medical, get the physical, and get baseline foundations of where they are, you know, strength wise, cardio wise, and our guys will do that, and then we'll put a plan together. And to your point or to your question, some guys maybe have a little bit of a longer lead up time, but some guys that come in a little bit better shape and they're more in tune to where their bodies were last year, probably less of that type of lead in time. So it's really dependent on what the medical staff and the strength training staff say.
So Brett, what is the off season goal? Like, you sit back, you're there, there's nobody around, you're not talking to us, you're looking at your whiteboard with names all over it. Like, what are you thinking, like, this off season's going to be like around the NFL for everybody?
Well, it'll be challenging. It, you know, I think, you know, to your point, you stare at that board a lot, and what you have to do, especially with an unconventional cap year. You know, last year teams were bracing for it, and this year they're experiencing it. I think I mentioned this in the press conference. I think typically my gut says that, you know, it'll be business as usual for the top end guys. I think teams will find a way to manipulate the cap to land some of those bigger name guys. I do think the second and third weeks of free agency will be interesting, because that's when I think you'll see them, you know, get concerned about the restraints and these smaller deals in these 1 year deals with the second and third waves of free agency. They'll be a little bit tougher to sneak in. You know, with the bigger deals, you have a runway, you have time, and, you know, you can do things with conversions and how you allocate the money. With these smaller, shorter deals for these second and third wave guys, it's a little bit harder to hide that. So I think that's where you're going to see some guys do 1 year deals, because they just, you know, hit the market at the wrong time. So I think that, you know, I don't know how we'll be in that first week of free agency, but I think if we're patient and we let the board and the free agency, you know, in regards to free agency, we let the board come to us, I think there'll be some opportunities for us to add, you know, real value and get guys that, you know, they may only be here a year because they may do well under that 1 year, you know, contract and then put themselves in a better position next year. And I think that's what we'll offer these players, a chance to come here and then, you know, play with this team and team that feels that they're ready to go out there and compete for another championship again. So if the market isn't where they want, I feel like we're in a good position to offer them a 1 year deal as a bridge and potentially into another deal, and maybe even an extension here.
You mentioned earlier in the press conference that there's probably going to be a lot of surprise cuts around the NFL, maybe some we didn't see coming. Do you anticipate you guys having to make cuts like that, where people are like, whoa, I can't believe they had to do that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It'll depend on what becomes available and whether we think that would be a good long-term solution to some issues that we have on either side of the football. I think, you know, when I made that comment about some surprise cuts, you know, a lot of it may have to do with, you know, this is a weird year for the quarterbacks, and there's been a lot of rumblings about quarterbacks moving teams. And, you know, if teams have to, you know, tackle on big contracts, or if teams are going to get hit with some dead cap, they'll have to do some scrambling in regards to, you know, finding ways to make all that work. So, you know, look, these teams, you know, I don't, you know, there's been a lot of rumors out there and speculations. At the end of the day, maybe none of these quarterbacks get moved. But if they do get moved, and depending on where they get moved, I mean, teams are going to have to, with a 180-some cap, maybe it's 180 now, maybe 185, 183, but with a reduced cap and, you know, inheriting a huge quarterback contract, I mean, they're going to have to do something. So that's where, you know, the quarterback juggling and the offseason in that regard could get crazy. And you know, there's also scenarios where just teams are really up against it and they just have to make tough decisions on players. So I think anytime you get into a scenario where teams did deals 2 or 3 years out thinking the cap was going to be 210 and the cap's 185, I think there's always that scenario for the unknown to happen.
You called the ending of last season disappointing ending but motivating. How do you think the team has handled the end of last season, and how do you think that will kind of showcase itself in a response?
Well, I mean, you know, I can't really speak on the team just because I haven't seen, you know, listen, you get back from the Super Bowl and, you know, I joke all the time. I said it's periods of the season that I wish I was a coach, because, you know, the coaches get a couple of weeks off right after the season to kind of decompress, and we're in there watching college guys. So, you know, once you get back, especially this year with the COVID, I mean, you don't really see these guys. Now, I've seen Pat and some of these injured guys here, and I know they're raring to go, but I just think as an organization, you know, look, once you've been there and you know what it's like, you know, you have that one motivating factor that you want to get there and you want to be world champions. And then you get there, and when you quickly realize that once you get there, you're never satisfied because you realize how special it was. So, you know, the fact that we had that opportunity a couple of years ago in Miami, we finished the deal, we know what it's like, and we know how special that is. We put ourselves in a position to do that again last year and came up just short. But, you know, the motivation is there, and, you know, we feel like we have the necessary pieces in place, and we just need some more depth, and we need to make smart, sound decisions this offseason, and we look forward to those opportunities, both in free agency and the draft.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty, a radio.com sports station.
You know, at the day after the Super Bowl, Brett, I said I expect the Chiefs to go 19-0 and win the Super Bowl. That's the expectation. Even though they lost that game, it's just a bump in the road. They're back on there. Am I going to have to change my prediction and say, instead of 19-0, now it's 20-0 with the potential extra game being added into the regular season?
Oh, I don't know. I know Mark and his crew are working hard on that, and you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't have any insider information about a 17th game. You know, I think it'd be great for our fans and great for the league, but, you know, I'll defer to Mark and his staff and, you know, the league office and the PA, and I'm sure whatever they come up with will be great for the league. And, you know, listen, if we have another 17th game, another opportunity to showcase our players, and you know, hopefully it's a home game. I'm not sure how that will work.
A home game this year. The AFC is supposed to get the home game this year. The NFC is supposed to get the home game the following year, you know, and alternate vice versa. I would have loved to play in that 17th game at a neutral site like Iowa City or Columbia or Norman or someplace like that, or Auburn, or a place that doesn't normally get the NFL. I thought that would have been really cool.
Yeah, and listen, I'm sure, you know, the league office, they're very creative in their ways to, you know, expand the product. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe this year they want to get, or in the short term, they want to get this thing kicked off and running and get people used to the scheduling and how it's going to work. But I could certainly see, you know, the future of the expansion in cities that don't have teams that, you know, and even if they want to test market, you know, viability in different locations to see what it would be like, I'm sure that you can go a lot of different ways with the 17th game, you know. But listen, we'll start with an extra home game in Arrowhead. That'd be a great place to start, right?
Fantastic. No question about it. And you know, you've got the opportunity to, you know, showcase Patrick Mahomes potentially against Aaron Rodgers as well. If that ends up being the 17th game, I know everybody would be licking their chops at that game because they didn't get to meet the last time. Do you get caught up in that and have fun with some of that stuff? Like, take a step back from your role and be like, man, that's Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. That'd be pretty cool.
No, I like the easier games where, you know, you can get it's hard to win games. You know, that's why the season's so weird, because, you know, that loss is such a sour taste in your mouth. But, you know, and I think Pat said this, you know, right now, I mean, no one's happy with the way the season ended. You know, history might look, you know, kinder on, you know, what we did. But, I mean, to go 14-1, we didn't play our guys that last game, and 8-0 on the road last year. I mean, it's hard to win games. So, I mean, I think it's exciting for the fans for sure. And listen, as a competitor, you love to see it. But, you know, just knowing how hard it is to navigate through a full season and get guys healthy, I don't know if, you know, you're always looking, you don't want to play Aaron Rodgers every week. You want to get a one seed. You want to find a way to get back to the Super Bowl. So, but look, we're a good team. And, you know, when if they announce a 17th game, and if you have to play another game, you know, they're gonna want marquee matchups. So, you know, we're excited that we're in that position to be one of those marquee matchups.
All right. So who would you want to? No, I'm just kidding. Which quarterback would you want to face in that one? I wanted to ask you.
Anyone not named Rodgers or Brady or Wilson, right?
There you go. And also, which colleges are cheating their 40 times? I was really intrigued by that the other day.
So here's the thing. So I can't say, because I don't want to, you know, have my guys barred from ever entering again. I can't say teams, but if you want me, the closest I can give you is just double check those times on those Big Ten schools, all right? That's all I'll say.
Hey, you know what? I ran an under 640. Is that good?
You know, we laugh sometimes. Like, we'll get these guys will run at the combine, and they'll run a receiver will run like 4.51 at the combine. And then, like, 2 weeks later, same player goes to their pro day, runs like 4.40, and I'm like, okay, they didn't get that much faster in 2 weeks. Like, it's impossible, right? So we always joke, is like, are they running downhill? Is it 39 yards? Like, who's timing these? Because this is like crazy. So at least in the past, you had the combine to kind of, you know, it was a level playing field, and everyone ran on the same surface, and they were the same times and the same timers and all that kind of stuff. Now all of a sudden, it's going to be like, some teams will have indoors on a fast track. Some smaller schools, they'll be outdoors and it'll be 48 degrees and the wind will blow in their face and you'll look at these times and say they stink. But when you take a step back, you're like, wow, this guy ran on grass outdoors. It was 48 degrees and it was running with the wind in his face. I mean, so, you know, we're going to have to do some historical work in regards to trends and how that all plays out to try to level the playing field as best we can. But it'll certainly be a challenge, and, you know, that'll be something we have to work through as we go on here.
Well, Brett, we appreciate the time. I know people say this is the off season, but for you, it's like the real season. This is where everything kind of happens. You have fun doing it, though? You got to have a ton of fun, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, it's like you mentioned, this is really our season. And this is, you know, once you get into training camp, you're really just doing, you know, roster maintenance. And you're trying to just find value and solidify depth as the season goes on. But this is really where you make your big moves. And, you know, we always say Super Bowls and championships are won here in March and April. And so we're excited about this opportunity, and we're certainly motivated to get back at it and put a product out there that, you know, can compete for another AFC championship and hopefully a trip to L.A. for our third straight Super Bowl.
Well, we're already making plans to be out there. So, and if you got any questions about players and you need a deciding vote, Josh and I are here to make that deciding vote, you know, be it the draft or a free agent or anything like that.
Sounds good. I'll call you guys draft night, round one.
Perfect.
6:31. Give you guys a buzz.
We're ready to go. We're here to help the team. Brett, we appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Thank you.
I'd be no help past round one.
Well, no. I mean, we may not be any help past pick one. I think Trevor Lawrence is the answer there, but he did say we will have an input on who the Chiefs draft at 31. Nice.
He said call us. I heard him say it.
Right there. It's clear as day. Night. That's right. He will be calling us. We will have an input on who the Chiefs draft. And so maybe as a show, we need to come together, put it out there, let the listeners have a little input, and then we can present the player that we believe as a show to Brett Veach to pick.
I think we have about as much input as like Mahomes had last year when they skewed it somehow that he got the answer that they were looking for.
My wife, you know, we're redoing the bathroom with my wife. We're redoing the bathroom with Aspire, right? And we're doing some stuff with the kids
I heard.
Right? They do a great job for us, and so
also had heard that
my wife is like, I'm gonna let the kids pick out their knobs for the things.
And Dave and Lori, great. Great people.
Dave and Lori are fantastic people, right? I talked to him yesterday, actually. And so my wife was like, I'm going to let them choose, you know, the knobs. I'm like, oh, that's cool. She goes, yeah, but I'm going to give them like three options of three that I really like, and they get to pick the one. So you make it like it is their decision,
my wife, what the lesson she learned when she let our son pick whatever background he wanted for a school picture, mm-hmm. and he picked the one with like Saturn in the background.
Yeah, the one she didn't want, right?
It was like the one, it was the only one on the page she would not have approved.
Right.
And so he's like, I want that one.
That one right there. Well, here we go. We got three options. All three we can live with are great, fantastic options, but you let the kid pick and like, oh, they had a say. They feel ownership in all of that, even though they really
tremendous
didn't.
Tremendous
right?
pictures.
So the Saturn pictures were good. I'm sure they were great.
It's outer space. It's amazing.
And he's thrilled by it, right?
Oh, 100%.
And you liked it.
Yeah.
And your wife hated it.
I almost liked it more because my wife disliked it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was good.
Yeah, exactly.
So we will have input on the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping for the run of quarterbacks. That happens ahead.
Because the more quarterbacks that get taken, the better it is for the Chiefs, regardless of what position.
Take all the quarterbacks, even the junky ones. Just take them all ahead of 31 and leave the Chiefs a really good player. I'm cool.
Because there could be a run on quarterbacks this year, depending on how the whole draft, the whole offseason plays out with free agency and trades. And it's been kind of quiet these last couple of days.
A couple of other notes. You'd asked about like a surprise cut. This is going to be an unusual year for the for teams, and we may see some unusual, I think he described it initially as unusual type cuts, but the didn't expect the Chiefs to be in that mode.
Mm-hmm, which is good.
Okay. Yeah. So the two tackles, which everybody is cutting.
Right. Oh, my God. Everybody has like cut those two tackles, right?
All the experts are like, oh, here's what the Chiefs can do to save some money. Cut mm-hmm. the two tackles.
Really? Did you see the Super Bowl, sir?
I don't know. That seems like a pretty good position of need.
Yeah. And if they're going to be healthy like they expect them to be, why are you going to cut them?
And then I'll say it out loud. Ohio State's fudging their 40 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... That was
yeah, he was really tiptoeing around the Ohio State, wasn't he?
I mean,
he said a team, and then he said Big Ten, and I'm just going to go Ohio State.
Right.
I mean, they're the ones that are competing with the SEC all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones with the closest to the champion. They have to prove that they're fast, right? Because the SEC is always fast. I think they're the ones fudging their
time. It's just it really is a process of elimination.
He didn't say anything. He didn't.
You trying to get his guys banned? He didn't tip me off.
They can go there. I'm just saying. I think it's Ohio State.
I think Josh is right about that. What other Big Ten team is competing with the SEC? And it's like. You know, you want to really do well on your pro days. You want to have good prospects make it to the NFL so you can sell, you know, the next group of recruits that, hey, we put kids in the NFL and look how fast their 40 times are. Really, the only Big Ten team that competes with the SEC is Ohio State.
There you go. He didn't say it. I did.
Northwestern's not going to do that.
That's good.
I do like
Rutgers. I don't know. They even know they're in the Big Ten.
Everybody runs faster on their pro day, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they had a disappointing run at that combine.
Because the 40-yard dash. What?
The pro day, or the pro day at your college, you're always running faster.
Always faster because they only do 39 yards in the 40-yard dash.
We're just going to write Michigan off on this?
Yeah, Michigan hasn't been any good. They stink.
Harbaugh would have fudged that?
If he is, he's not doing a very good job of it because they stink.
He's doing a very good job of a lot.
Got to find a way to get some better players in there. And the other school that probably wouldn't fudge would be Maryland. I don't think they understand they're in the Big Ten either. And Nebraska's too far gone.
Wisconsin?
No.
I feel like wasn't there some controversy about Jonathan Taylor's 40 time?
Not a lot of speed there.
Yeah. A lot of cheese.
A lot of speed. The only one with speed is Ohio State.
Ohio State. Yeah.
I'm going to go Ohio State.
I think that is by deductive reasoning.
The
we've come
Big
yeah.
Ten with speed.
I'm narrowing it down. I'm going to Ohio State.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.